Faith here with a welcome toast. It was Briat Severin who said, "The Spanish ladies of the New World are madly addicted to chocolate to such a point that, not content to drink it several times each day, they even have it served to them in church." Sounds good to me. Please feel free to consume this show podcast in small bites or eat the whole thing. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet, I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to join us to eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, we're going to have a good time on this show. We're going to talk about the universal. You know, grocery shopping is universal, pretty much. Ugh. And so what do you do when you are stressed, exhausted, have had a very busy day? Everybody has to whip up something fast, depending on what's in the pantry, you know, what you can stop at the market and get. Your mind is blank. You're grabbing things off the shelf. We want to brainstorm with you. That's our job right here on the show. My treasured food buddies are here. Senior contributors Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, Anthony DiSerio. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
All right, let's get right to it. Robin Doyen Aiken, our senior producer, is joining us on the show as always. Robin, I'm going straight to you.
Okay.
You've got
with the kids.
On the spot.
Here you go.
You've got kids. What do you do something that is a really super fast, throw it together, rummaging through the refrigerator or the pantry or stopping at the supermarket? What would you do?
So aside from pasta, which is what everybody's got in their back pocket, I have to make a lot of kid food in my house because it's not just a matter of being quick. I have to make something that little people will actually eat. So the go-to in our house for these nights is pretzel chicken. Ooh. We always have pretzels. We always have chicken breast.
How do you do it?
Super simple.
I love this.
First, we smash up the pretzels. That's the kids' job.
Fun job.
They love that.
I want that.
Absolutely.
I do too.
I'm all over that.
Crush it right in the bag.
The kids think, especially my little one, my boy Evan, he thinks that when I ask him for help with cooking, he is wondering immediately, what ingredients am I going to get to smash? And usually it's pretzels. I know a lot of people do panko, crusted chicken, and things like that, but my kids love pretzels, so that's my go-to.
And you can even get gluten-free pretzels, which is fantastic. Okay, so Evan smashes pretzels.
We put them in one of those shallow bowls, and we get our setup. We pound the chicken breast to make it a little thinner so that it will cook quicker.
And if it's really fat, you can just slice through it horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A dip in the egg batter, a dip in the pretzels, and into the frying pan, which has some olive oil usually.
Which has been heating.
Yep.
So does it get kind of golden brown on one side?
It does. The chicken gets very crispy. And then after I really crisp it up, I put it in a baking sheet. I have the oven warming too. And after they're all kind of fried up and crispy, they're going to go into the oven for about 15 minutes.
Just to keep them warm.
To keep them warm and to be sure everything's cooked through.
Yeah.
Wow. And so they're very crunchy, crispy on the outside.
Yes.
I would love it.
Yep.
Wow.
And what does it
get
kids?
Depends. Usually, again, kid food. So
macaroni
it's like,
cheese.
Yes, mac and cheese.
I know it. I love it.
Plain stuff, rice.
White food, I call it.
Yeah, white food.
That's a great idea.
All right. I love that as a starter for this. We're doing how to throw it together. It's rush hour. You've had a hard day. What are we throwing together? Maybe you don't like to cook. You like to eat. So, Chris, you've got one?
I get home late at night. I don't like to cook when I get home late at night. And I got this from my partner, Linda Juca. And it's what she used to feed her kids when they had. Yeah, and this is one of those things she used to feed her kids when there was nothing in the house to eat. You know, she didn't want to go grocery shopping. The kids are screaming hungry. And she turned me onto it. And now I do it for myself because it's so good and it's easy. All you have to do is keep a box of ditalini pasta in your pantry. You know, there's those little tubes that are usually for soups.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you boil some water, throw the box in, some salt, and boil it and get it fully cooked. And then when you strain it, leave some of the liquid onto the side. So I usually strain it into a bowl, right? My strainer over a bowl. I collect the juice or the water that was in there. You put the pasta back in the pot with a little bit of the liquid.
Which is dry now.
Yeah, with a little, maybe a ladle full of the cooking liquid. Whip in some butter and some American cheese slices. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make it tricked up, I've taken it a step further. And I keep those little cans of diced tomatoes, those you know, in there. And I throw that in there too. And it makes the quickest, easiest mac and cheese on the planet.
Wow.
She calls it pastina. It's just so cheesy and good. And again, it's American cheese, which you can keep in your fridge forever. A little bit of butter and pasta. Yeah.
Love that.
Can my kids come over and eat at your place?
Except it's 11 o'clock at night.
Okay. Yeah, well, can I piggyback on
you?
Yeah,
go for it.
Okay, so one of the things I do is to quickly boil some pasta and go and get, I only buy tuna that's packed in olive oil. I get a can of that tuna packed in olive oil and open it. When the pasta's cooked, put it in a bowl, drain. I dump the whole olive oil can with olive oil too right in there. And I'll add a teeny bit of red sauce or I'll add a little piece of crushed garlic. And I always have jars of sliced Kalamata olives in my pantry. And I throw them in, mix, mix, mix. I might put in a little bit of feta cheese. Anything that just seems like it would be a fun kind of tuna casserole. And there you go. You're all set. You could add
panko.
Go ahead.
And how long after? I was just thinking, that's like what? How many minutes after the pasta is boiled?
The whole thing takes 10 minutes.
Yeah, but take the pasta out of it. What is it, two?
No, really.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if the pasta's boiled in 2 minutes, you just see that's the kind of cooking.
So I have to balance out the carbohydrates.
What is your
lentils are so delicious and so like good for you. They're so easy to make. So it's one part lentils to two parts water. I throw in like a whole clove of garlic. You don't even need to peel it, Chris. You can do an onion if you want, a bay leaf, a little salt and pepper.
You mean you're boiling the lentils?
Well, you just rinse the lentils, put them in a saucepan, add double the amount of water, bring it up to a boil, and then reduce to simmer and cook it like 25 minutes.
With garlic?
Garlic, an onion, carrot, a bay leaf, salt, pepper, and just a drizzle of olive oil. And surprisingly, it comes out tasting so rich and delicious. And it's a way, if you don't want to eat meat one night, and lentils, everyone has them in their pantry, high, you know, in iron and nutrients, and so satisfying. It's almost meaty.
That sounds
simple,
good.
Simple.
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, oh, my God, I always have the Palacios brand cured chorizo, as the Spanish would say. And I chop it up into cubes or thin slices, and I'm thinking, wouldn't that be amazing to toss into your lentil soup? And there would be...
In Spain, you would add morcilla, the blood sausage, similar, and a little bit of cumin, which adds like a little depth to it.
See, that would make it very Spanish. That chorizo is my seasoning packet. Because I use it in
paprika.
I just chop it up and I don't even sear it or anything. Like if I'm making a soup, I chop up a link, throw it in there, and that's like you don't have to add salt, you don't have to add pepper, you don't have to add garlic.
It's
all in there.
This Palacios brand, it's already cooked. Yeah. Like getting a salami at the store. You just slice it and when you cook it, or boil it or fry it or whatever you do. I put it in my eggs. I put it in so many things. It releases its paprika oil. This bright orange paprika oil. So imagine that in eggs or imagine.
Can I do another one?
That's actually where I would go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually where I was going to piggyback on you. As the bartender at 3 a.m. when you just get home, I take a potato. I throw that in the microwave for about like 7 to 10 minutes. And I just get it nice and soft. Chop
it
up.
You punch holes in it.
Punch holes into it. And I just quarter it all up. And then I get a frying pan out. And I'll dice up like a hot dog or the chorizo if we have any of that. And some eggs. And I like the bartender's breakfast. Like a big scramble.
Yeah,
hash brown.
Not even fancy, right?
No, just throw it all in the pan together. So it's like hot dogs and potatoes and eggs.
Maybe
and a little
onion.
Yeah, throw some onion in there, and maybe like a little bit of cilantro or parsley in there. Just stir it all together, and then once the eggs are done, it's
now
done.
That's 3 a.m.
That's almost that's almost like a frittata.
And then go to sleep.
Yeah. Sleeping good.
So it's at 2,000 calories.
Yeah, something like that. But I already ran like 5 miles all night, so I just kind of did it backwards.
He pours beer and kava in there.
Okay, a little Newcastle Brown on top. It'd be beautiful.
Maybe some ice cream. Okay, that's good. I'm a huge fan of just throwing things into rice. Mm-hmm. So if I've got frozen peas in the freezer and some kind of Parmigiano Reggiano, I'll be grating that. You know, anything and everything can go in there. Chicken stock. And suddenly you've got kind of a rice soup, you know.
Green beans.
Yeah, and on that you could...
In a soup. Oh, you're doing a liquid, more of a excess
sometimes
water.
Sometimes I do excess water using the chicken stock. Yeah. You could use vegetable stock if you're a vegetarian. But, you know, using store-bought stock. Yeah. If I've got more time, I'm going to the supermarket and throwing in my freezer chicken wings. I say to them, I want packages of your chicken wings. Do you have any necks?
For the
anything?
And I
take store-bought stock, chicken stock, and I put it on the stove, and I throw in chicken wings, and I let that simmer for a while. Makes the most, and sometimes some chopped carrots and celery, the most unbelievable stock from store-bought stock. Because of the fat and the bones leaching into that makes astonishing chicken stock. And then, you know, you just put it in containers and toss it in the freezer. So I can take one of those out and then cook anything in it. Peas,
if you added
anything.
A pinch of saffron, you'd have almost like a paella,
It's a great idea. Absolutely. I never thought about that.
Cheating, but
and
good.
I think this is the key to quick midweek meals or whatever, is planning a little bit ahead and doing stuff like that. You know what my kid taught me is whenever you go for Chinese takeout, ask him for an extra quart of rice. Just ask them for an extra quart of rice. And then that sits in your fridge. No, that sits in your fridge for days. I saute a little bit of onion. I throw in the rice right after I cook the onion, maybe a little garlic and ginger. I crack a whole egg in there, mix it all up.
Egg foo young
or stir-fried rice, right? And then you just hit it with a couple dashes of soy sauce, some hot sauce, and you have, you know, vegetable stir-fried rice. You could put your frozen peas in there.
Does anyone have rice for breakfast? Maybe it's a Southern thing. My dad would take cooked rice. Like you have leftover, put it in a saucepan with like milk, and then you add sugar and cinnamon, and you make like a porridge out of it.
Like a rice pudding.
Like they have it for breakfast in the Midwest.
Well, you know, there are rice-based cereals that people used to eat as much as they ate oatmeal.
It's a very sort of middle America sort of, you know, porridge, but it was so good. A lot of milk. It was
so
delicious.
I noticed that a lot of what we're talking about is very carb-centric.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how we do something that's a little less carb-centric. In other words, let's say, what about a sweet potato? Now, that's carb-centric, but it's healthy. At least that's what they tell us. So sweet potato poked all over with a fork or slit with a knife and then into the microwave. And then that is cooked 10 minutes, 15 minutes, let's say. Take it out. Now, what are we doing with it? Well, how can we make it interesting as a loaded potato that's
brown
good
sugar
for
and
you?
Marshmallows.
Brown sugar and marshmallows.
Boy, no. Take some of that chorizo sausage that you were talking about. Chop that up on top of it.
Yeah. Butter.
So put it. Take your potato after you've microwaved it. Chop it up. Put it in the frying pan with chorizo sausage and some other vegetables, and you have like a potato hash.
Mm. Yeah.
And you don't even have to add the egg. You can leave it just like it is. Or I'll give you one that I love to tell people, because this is what I do when I go over to people's houses and I'm cooking with them, is clean out your vegetable drawer. Yeah. And what's in there? Yeah. Old carrots and old celery. Yes. So take your carrots and celery.
Can you use it if it looks really
bad?
I don't
No, if it's just a little wilty.
It looks really soft and wilty.
Yes, you can use it if it's soft, but not if it's moldy and icky. But if it just gets a little limp, totally use it.
If it's the same color as the sweet potato,
just
don't do it.
Chop it all up, peel the carrot, chop the celery, throw it in a saute pan with a little olive oil, and just saute it up until it gets cooked through. And then you can season it with just a little salt and pepper and just eat it like that. Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm going to eat the wilted vegetables?
No, it's seared now. Now it got
it's
crispy.
Like mirepoix.
Yes, mirepoix. But you know what? I love sautéed celery.
Wait a minute. What is this as a meal?
It's a side dish for a meal. But use your vegetables.
It's a good start for a meal.
It's a good start for a meal. But listen,
people
just let it rot.
Soup there.
You could make a soup out of it.
You could put it on toast or something.
What I'm saying is just use it somewhere.
Eggs.
You could put eggs. You usually end up throwing it away, don't you?
Put it in your hot chocolate. No, I get your point. These are usable, these vegetables. And certainly people are throwing that into soups. Yeah. You know, if you've got, you can take store-bought soup and doctor it. I find cans of store-bought soup pretty awful. But if you start doing things to them, putting the chicken wings in them, for instance, or doing that saute that Chris just described with
more water to them to thin them a little bit and adding vegetables
to it.
A little wine, a little garlic.
Yeah,
to bring the sodium level down a little bit. You can make really good soup out of it.
You can. Well, and you
add a can of beans.
Of beans. Anything to bring that sodium level down. So by adding more water and then more vegetables, you end up with double the soup and
Don't salt it until the end.
Probably don't need any.
So if you have a lot of chicken breasts in your freezer, the obvious thing to do, as we're talking about how to make these very fast 5-10 minute dinners based on what's in your pantry, what's in the refrigerator, what can you grab in 2 minutes at the supermarket. That's the point of this segment. I always have chicken breasts in the freezer, and I just will throw a package, not even knowing what I'm going to do with it. I have panko in the refrigerator, which are those very nice, very light breadcrumbs. But sometimes I'll just grab potato chips.
Say barbecue potato chips.
Yeah, you could.
And just eat the chips?
I go to bed. No, so that I crush those up just like Robin does with her kids with the pretzels. And into the egg wash, and then with the potato chips, and then into the oven and bake them.
So we put that on a salad.
Terrific.
And we would slice that chicken and then put it on a salad with a little squeeze of lemon. Healthy. That's
good. So we're here to help you get a weeknight meal together really fast. It's been so much fun doing this. This is one of my favorite things to do.
We should ask people on Facebook what they're doing.
Yeah, too. What's their
food? I'm sure people have great ideas.
Yeah.
Get some more ideas,
What's your low ingredient? Throw it together as fast as you can. I keep it in the pantry. Yeah. What's in my freezer all the time that I can do so fast? Maybe you do it for the kids. Maybe you do it as a grown-up. Maybe you do it as your midnight snack, like Anthony when he's coming home from work at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I'll leave a name for a cardiologist.
We want to hear from you on Facebook. Here's how you find us. Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze. That's where we are on Facebook. Okay, my friends, more mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. They need us. We're online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Cornbread said, "Now that's all right. Beans me on the corn tomorrow night. I'm getting ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to cornbread."
Okay.
Love that song.
I'm just laughing.
Does that mean it's time for our wine tasting, or we already had a wine tasting? I don't know. I don't think so. No, we did not. But how many years have we heard that song?
Love that
song. It's as old as the show.
Yeah. Do you want to say how many years that is?
Oh, it's well past.
15?
No, it's well past 15. I think we're into 17 now, 18 years. Unbelievable. Wow. Love that song. Okay, and we know little people and young at heart love it too, and so that's why we always have it on the show. And so we thought it'd be really fun to talk with you about instant dessert. I'm someone who goes out and buys desserts when people come over, and I think, how can I do something a little bit better? And also that doesn't cost a fortune. And we start talking about this here in the studio. We're going to brainstorm with you and come up with how you can do the simplest thing and have dessert. I am with my food buddies, Alex Province, wine broker from Hartford. We have Chris Brosberry, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and Mark Raymond, wine broker from Wethersfield, and senior producer Robin Doyon Aiken. We are going to start talking dessert. Mark, you are up.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you call it?
I call this the Klondike Sundae. And how this came about is...
I think this should be Daniel's Klondike Sundae.
It is Daniel. So my little man, Daniel, he's 12 years old. And I see him in the kitchen the other evening. And he's putting a Klondike bar into a bowl. And I said, Daniel, what are you doing? He goes, Dad, I'm making a sundae. He proceeds to add a dollop of dulce de leche... pour hot fudge over the top of it, and then hit it with the whipped cream can. And he had himself an instant sundae.
You know,
and now I would be really unimpressed if it was just like the typical classic Klondike, but this was a caramel pretzel Klondike.
Oh, that
so he really
good.
Stepped it up, and I'm looking at him like,
"Did you get your spoon in there?"
He's like, "Dad, come
on. Any pretzels on top?
You just can't
that
eat
really
these regular.
Kind of good to me.
You need some broken pretzels on top.
Oh,
did you taste it? Did you?
I did. Yeah.
Was it good?
It was unbelievable.
Would you make it yourself?
Wow.
So I said, "Make me one.
Yeah. Well, that's even better.
And he did.
hold on, Dad. Let me show you how it's
done. And then my wife gave me the eye, and she's like, you are trying to lose weight, right?
I'm probably 1,000 calories.
1,000 calories well worth.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Don't you think, Robin, that is – I mean, I think that takes talent.
I'm telling you, he is
playing with the flavors.
Flavor master
He is a creative
thinker.
I think
he's a food man.
I think he is.
Okay. So here we go. Chris, you have one instant dessert.
I got an instant dessert, and I make this one. And I got it from Food Network magazine, and it is the easiest chocolate cake in the world. And it is a real chocolate cake, and it's made in minutes.
Uh-huh.
I know, Faith's like, what are you talking about?
No, is this the one in the mug?
Yes.
And, oh, God.
It is so good, and it is so cheesy, and it is so fun. And I'm telling you, when you make it, hot chocolate cake with ice cream on it is heaven. So you ready?
I love this thing.
So, and maybe we can put it on the website. We'll link it over because it's a great recipe.
Okay.
It's flour, sugar, cocoa powder, egg, a little milk, a dash of oil, a couple drops of vanilla, and a pinch of salt. And you just take it and whisk it all together and then pour it in a coffee mug.
Now, do you have to grease the inside?
No, you don't have to grease the mug at all.
No.
You just put it in the mug. And then you microwave it for about 2 minutes, depending on the strength of your microwave. Take it out, let it cool for a second, and you have an instant chocolate cake.
And you can also eat it right with a spoon.
Right out of the cup.
Right out of the cup.
I put it in a bowl and put ice cream on it.
How many servings?
And then the ice cream, one cup, you make them one at a time.
Does it have enough chocolate flavor?
Yes.
In other words,
if you use good cocoa powder, it does.
Uh-huh. Could you add some chocolate chips?
You could add chocolate chips.
Dark, so that it intensifies the chocolate flavor.
So where did I see this done the first time was at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival in Florida.
Oh, my
God.
That's
there's
funny.
A chef, and this is a fancy kitchen, so there's no microwave.
You keep
and
the mug?
They roll in the microwave from somewhere else. I don't know, maybe the break room? Because there's no microwave in this kitchen. I'm like, what the heck? Because all the chefs are cooking in this one big kitchen. And, of course, you see that going on. You got to go. He's like, you want to try it? I'm like, sure. And he's making them individually right away. And, boom, dumping it and putting on a plate and it's sending it out. And we were just eating them. They were just so good.
Powdered
sugar on top.
Warm. And when you think how you could play with that, I want to add dark chocolate chips.
Yep.
But you think about it. You could put a little teaspoon of espresso.
Sure.
A little
cinnamon
in there.
Yeah. Chopped nuts.
Yes, Mexican chocolate.
Yeah. Chopped walnuts.
A coconut.
Oh, yeah.
Shredded coconut. Anything
cayenne.
In there.
Yeah,
would that be fun at the end of a dinner to come out with mugs on a tray for people? Of their dessert in a mug, in a coffee, an old-fashioned coffee mug. Would that be
from
the
start
best?
To finish, it literally takes minutes.
And of course, my son would add a dollop of dulce de leche.
Of course, and some whipped cream.
Fudge and whipped cream.
And maybe and break up a Klondike bar and sprinkle it over the top.
Yeah, he would just crash a Klondike bar right on the top of it. Okay, so this is a good way to start as we do these instant desserts. Okay, Robin, you don't have one for the kids, do you, by any chance?
I'd love to make, I call it like the bus stop dessert. So, like, when my kids get off the bus and they come home, 3:45, whatever
good
it is.
Category.
I like to start baking an apple about half an hour before they get off the bus.
Yeah.
And they walk into the house. I love it. When they come home from school, they walk into the house and they're like, it smells awesome in here. And really all it is I took an apple and I cut a little top off and I scooped a little bit out and I put some cinnamon sugar in the middle with some butter, maybe some...
Peanut butter?
Regular butter. It ends up tasting like a little apple pie filling, but it's just a baked apple.
Yeah. With walnuts. You ever put a little walnuts in there?
Sometimes nuts for me. Yep. Raisins sometimes.
That's great.
And they just kind of love the smell of it more than anything else.
That would be, you're making a dream childhood. I just want to tell you.
Absolutely.
You're happy to come
home. From school and smell.
I try.
All right, Alex, do you have an instant?
Well, you could walk to the freezer and take out Haagen-Dazs and put some raspberries on a bowl
on top.
Well,
you can. Exactly. Do you do that?
So at dinner parties, we'll do, but we'll just take a really pretty bowl with a beautiful scoop of Haagen-Dazs and some really fresh raspberries on top and nice spoon, and it's so
elegant and simple.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, Jacques Pepin will talk about that. I think in one of his Fast Food My Way books, he would talk about taking a store-bought pound cake, cutting it up in chunks, putting it in the bottom of a kind of sundae dish, and then on top, scoops of ice cream and berries. And I think he would drizzle, as I recall, a little liqueur. over the top, you know, maybe a Cointreau or whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
So I think that's
so I like the pound cake idea. So put that underneath the ice cream so it sort of catches the melting.
And it melts in.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, yeah, but yours sounds good too. And I want to do things like go and buy a package of ice creams on a stick, ones that I love, you know, chocolate-covered ice cream on a stick, and then pass those out on pretty plates, and everyone gets one, and you open them, and it's really fun. Mm.
Oh,
I think, I mean, how are you not to be delighted if you're a guest at a party and someone says, you know, here's your...
Didn't you used to chase the ice cream truck?
Oh, yes, I did. And I always like the ones with the chocolate
$20
on the outside.
At a time.
And no one ever says no to ice cream at the end of a meal.
No, not at all.
Everyone's in.
So how about this? I always want to just do some, you know, wonderful ice cream that I like in a dish, and then get exquisite cookies, and then just put one or two, squish them right into the top of the ice cream. And that's it. I mean, those are wonderful things together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always being told that's just not fancy enough.
It's not fancy.
It's not gracious enough.
We have these little ceramic bowls that we got at a Army surplus store. They're the old, like, Northwest Airlines.
Little
china bowls. And it's so much fun. We use them for our ice cream, but it's fun. It has, you know, it's just so old school Northwest Airlines.
Yeah. That's really fun.
All right, so I have one more. And this one has to do with my crock pots.
Oh.
Because making dessert in the crock pot, come on. All right,
come on.
You ready? Yeah. A pound of chocolate and 3 cups of cream. And a little bit of your favorite brandy or
liqueur.
Like chocolate soup?
Hold on.
No, wait.
Right. A pound
of chocolate. And you can use chips. You can use good chocolate, whatever you have, into the crock pot. 3 cups of cream and a little glug of whatever your favorite booze for chocolate would be.
Brandy,
cognac, Chambord, whatever you want. Then set it on high. Let it go for about 10, 15, 20 minutes till it's all melted. Then set it on keep warm. Give it a big whisk. And then in bowls on the side, you put strawberries. You put pound cake. Chocolate fondue.
Chocolate fondue.
Yeah.
This can be done ahead of time, too, and kept on warm, and it can stay there for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Because warm is 140, keeps the chocolate perfect.
This is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and then think about all the things you can dip in there. Pretzels, marshmallows.
Your hand.
Your hand. And there's no – it's foolproof.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Rotisserie chicken.
Chocolate chicken.
It's like mole.
There are no rules here.
There are none.
American mole.
Has anyone ever just taken a baguette and put a dark chocolate bar inside a baguette?
Wait, Faith, what's Faith's most famous? And people come up to me and say, is that really good? Go ahead. What's your most famous dessert you ever do? And people this day still talk about it. It's crazy.
Baguette.
Yeah.
With the chocolate and the sea salt.
Oh.
So you take a baguette, cut it lengthwise, horizontally. I put a little bit of butter on, and then you put your chocolate, the bar pieces, along it, and then you put it under the broiler, and it gets quite melty. Then you sprinkle sea salt on the top.
Oh, wow.
And you can cut it, you know, first, or you can cut it last and then divvy it up. People go insane over it. And you can put a top on it and make a sandwich. If you want, and the server to people.
I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me on the street in the restaurant when I'm at other restaurants, and people, that's the biggest question I get. Is that really good? And I'm like, oh my God, it's seriously good.
It is seriously delicious.
I'm doing it tonight.
It is seriously delicious.
Because you'd never even think that, would
you?
But let me tell you something. I was saying to Mark, now we're getting into the zone of things I've never done, but I really want to. And one involves a device that Mark has. But one I want to do is, a while ago, I was in Target, and I looked over and my head snapped around because Lay's had come out with its bags of special edition potato chips.
What will stop
that would definitely
the special list.
They had, at that moment, dark chocolate covered potato chips
with
sea salt.
Ooh.
They had, and the next to them were dark chocolate covered potato chips and had been sprinkled with crushed almonds.
Did you buy them all?
She filled her cart. She's like, they had no more left.
I didn't get it because I was getting this other thing. But I was
can
looking.
Can we go back?
No. I thought to myself, you know what I want to do with those special edition chips? Scoop of ice cream in a pretty little dish at dinner for friends with one chocolate potato chip on one side and one on the other.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe then a little small bowl in the center if you want extra. Who wouldn't love that?
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Now, that's to get back perfect. To the chocolate sandwich, because we're doing instant desserts here on the show. You can do what I just talked about with just slices of bread.
Yeah, white bread.
White bread.
Or
with
wheat
just
or
put your chocolate on the white bread, and then you could either fry it in butter in a pan, or you could put it under the broiler. But Mark has a device, and I'm trying to get him to use this device.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The Toasty Tight. It's a
that's the name?
It's yeah,
Toasty Tight.
Toasty Tight. So it's a round disc on two long sticks, and it's a metal sort of pocket sandwich maker. And so you use it for grilled cheeses, but you could also just butter both sides of that bread, right? And then put in a nice bar of chocolate, your favorite chocolate.
Or chips.
Or chips. And then seal that in, put that on the burner until it crisps up on both sides.
Yeah. I was going to say you have a chocolate croissant.
That reminds me of Lori Mack.
I put a little salt in there if I were you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember Lori Mack? She did this for us in studio once. She brought in her waffle maker.
Oh, yeah.
And she made instant brownie mix, you know, the mix that you just put water, oil, whatever it is. And she put that in the waffle maker.
Oh, I love
it. Set it on and then ice cream on top.
You know how you love the crispy side of a brownie that's on the edge of the pan?
Yeah.
Because you've got that crispy
I'm
stuff.
I'm all about the corner pieces.
You put it in your waffle iron. She had two waffle irons and I was so crazy over this that she said, I'm giving you a waffle iron.
Yeah. Just to do that
just in. To make
I
this.
Love it.
Yeah.
It is a rave thing. Yeah. It's a crazy
That's a great dessert.
And that's again, you could do it. You could do it ahead of time, and then at dessert time, you just go in the kitchen, press a couple waffles, and you're done.
Speaking of those brownies, UPS comes. Matt's not home. I open the box, and it's like this purple like lid thing. So I'm like, okay, what is this for? So he comes home. He's like, oh, they shipped this brownie pan, but they just shipped the top. They didn't ship the brownie, the actual pan. So I'm like, why? What is it? And so he's like, it's a brownie pan that you only have corners. So you pour the brownie mix in. It's like a sigmoid sort of shape.
And so you just end up with corners.
Every brownie has an edge.
Yeah. So then genius created
next day
that.
UPS comes and now I have now another top and bottom
did
pan.
Did you make it?
No. So seriously, you are
the company
in some
kept sending
of,
us the wrong like.
It's just like year of the fire monkey.
We haven't made them yet. But he must really like the corners of like brownies.
Well, now you know what to do when you get home. Make some brownies.
Wow.
There you go.
You know, instead of using butter for some of those, like buttering the bread, imagine using that peanut oil we talked about a while ago.
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that was from that Oliver farm in Georgia. Yeah, that's
be
a good
idea. Give it. It's almost like
also,
a peanuts
olive oil.
On
there's
Sunday.
No reason if for people who are have to have issues about butter. There's no reason you can't do everything we described with olive oil because chocolate and olive oil fabulous together.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers. For a podcast of the show, meaning we send it to you every week so you can listen on your schedule, go to foodschmooze.org. And we'll be right back with more instant dessert ideas.
Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down? Down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down. Everywhere I look at people's hands, thrown up in the air to help them dance. Come on, baby, catch me if you can. I know you don't have any other plans. Are you down, did it down, did it down, did it down, down, down? Down, did it, down, did it, down, did it, down, down, down.
This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, and the Hamptons. The senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken. To hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Podcasts and our curated recommendations are always online at foodschmooze.org. We've been talking about instant desserts on the show. We're going to keep going because we're having so much fun doing this. You can talk to us, too, about your ideas. If you have an instant dessert that you do, we'd like to know on Facebook. We want to talk with you right now. And that is Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze, on Facebook. I'm with Alex Provence, Chris Brassberry, Robin Doyon Aiken, and Mark Raymond. And we are talking about instant desserts. Alex, you have one. Is this an Ina?
Mm-hmm. This is one of our staples at home. So she uses just puff pastry that Chris loves. You get out of the freezer section at the grocery store. And then just apples, and she slices the apples and puts some butter in and bakes it. And when you take it out of the oven, it's all crispy and fluffed
up. Apples and butter right on the raw square. You unfold.
She unfolds the puff pastry. She slices the apples, sprinkles it with sugar.
Dots it with butter.
Bakes it. And then she coats it with apricot jelly.
At the end. So there's so much we could do with puff pastry. I was thinking someday we'd do a whole show on puff pastry. I think, Robin, I think you had thought of that.
Right? I am the fan of the Napoleon.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up, my father had a pastry shop.
Is that with the cream?
That's with the cream. But you know what you can do? A while ago, we did a beef tenderloin with blind baked puff pastry.
We did that for our holiday meal. Yeah. Yeah.
So you take squares of puff pastry and bake them off ahead of time. To make the filling as easy and quick as you can,
you do instant pudding.
Yeah. You do either the baked one on the stove, but that takes a little longer, or you just do the instant one where you just whip it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you take your puff pastry and you cut a couple pieces, right?
Horizontally
to separate the layers a little bit. And then you would just layer it and then powdered sugar on top.
And then the fork crunches through.
And think about how easy you could do that right before your dinner party. And this is an elegant dessert made in minutes.
I'm seeing whipped cream.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Fanned up strawberries.
Maybe flavored whipped cream.
Yeah, if you want to get really fancy.
With like a liqueur, you're thinking.
Yes. Let's now hack Chris's recipe. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we could do if we're not doing instant pudding where we could take dark chocolate or semi-sweet chocolate of high quality?
Oh, I got
maybe the chocolate chips on the puff pastry, and the puff pastry would puff up around the chocolate chips, and it would be like almost eating a chocolate covered donut. It's to my way of thinking. Maybe some butter with the chocolate.
Thinking ice cream, strawberry ice cream, chocolate ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
The other thing you can do too is that if you take puff pastry and cut circles out of them. And you bake them at a high temperature,
they puff up,
and you can actually make a little cup out of them. Once they cool a little bit, you just take a knife and you cut a hole out of the top, pull that out, and then you just sort of, with the knife, dig in there until you have this cylinder-like cup. Fill it with fresh fruit or chocolate.
Whipped cream?
Sure.
Yeah.
You can layer things in there, and that just makes a great presentation, and you get that crunchy stuff that's really good.
I remember my mom taking really ripe bananas, you know, the kind that have sat on the counter maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no one wants to eat them. Mm-hmm. She put them in a blender with milk and like a little teaspoon of sugar or something, and she would make these banana milkshakes. Just so simple and delicious. I really liked it.
And I can't remember now, in somebody's cookbook, there was a recipe for doing these instant, what the cookbook author called energy balls. For kids when they came home from school, and it was chocolate and nuts and oats, and there was no baking.
Like honey?
There might have been dates or something in there, and you rolled it all up. And so it was, in a way, like an energy bar for kids only in a ball and crispy on the outside.
They'll eat anything ball-shaped.
Your kids?
Oh, yeah.
Anything ball-shaped.
What about Rice Krispies? Is it getting simpler than Rice Krispie treats?
Oh, my God. With marshmallow?
Real ones made at home.
Marshmallow? What is it? Yeah. Marshmallow and Rice Krispies?
And margarine.
And margarine, and that's it.
So would you remember once years ago, I talked about my chocolate baguette sandwich. It went kind of crazy. But at the time, I also talked about using regular saltines and putting chocolate on those and baking them in the oven, and you would have a chocolate
cracker
saltine. The saltine kids come home.
Yeah. I've done something similar with matzos around Passover time. Yeah. Matzo candy really is just a matzo cracker with chocolate drizzled all over it.
Oh, that is a good idea.
Yep.
How about the one from Jacques Torres? What's the best thing to eat in his pastry shop in New York?
The chocolate chip cookies?
No, the chocolate-covered Cheerios.
Oh, I have not had those.
He figured out a way.
For breakfast?
Yeah. He figured out a way with a tempering machine to actually perfectly coat Cheerios with really good chocolate, and they're like addictive.
Oh, I'll bet.
Right?
I'll
and
bet.
How about that for
envision like it shooting TV through snack. A room and like a Willy Wonka like, sprays it from chocolate.
He is the modern day Willy Wonka. That is for sure.
He's got a bunch of Oompa Loompas to take care of all that.
But I tried to do when he did that, I got it in my head that I should do cornflakes because I've got a couple gluten-free friends, and I thought I could do chocolate-covered cornflakes in clusters and clumps, and it would be cornflake kind of candy.
And?
So I did melted the chocolate and did the roll and the dollop on the thing and put it in the freezer and be more sitting at the table. You know, crunching on it. That's absolutely horrible.
Oh. Like ruminating cows or something.
Nobody's talking. Terrible. Nobody's saying anything. Everyone's just looking.
Those are some milk, please.
Those are great, Faith.
It was so bad. Oh, honestly, I was so disappointed. But there you go. This is an unending list of my failures.
That's what makes you, that's how you find those great things, though. Yes. You've got to try new things and branch out.
I actually did create a candy after that I really worked out because of that recipe.
Oh,
you're right.
There you go.
But more on that for another show. Okay, Mark.
My mother-in-law does this for the kids all the time when they're over. She'll take bananas that are getting overripe or she'll take an apple and she'll just make a little fritter batter. She'll whip it up. She'll have a little pan on the olive oil on the burner. I think it's almost like a pancake dough. And she just loads it up with fruit, dumps them in there, and she makes these little fritters that are just unbelievable. She does it with vegetables, too. She does it with zucchini.
Wow.
Sometimes with spinach, sometimes with Swiss chard. And she gets the kids to eat it, which is amazing.
No
but
kidding.
On the dessert side, she makes the banana fritters. She makes apple fritters all year round.
And it's not that hard, right?
No, because you get that fruit. Then. You just don't want it to go bad. And it's getting super ripe. It's got all that sugar.
Instant desserts. That's our theme. If you have one, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about hacking things that exist. Talk to us on Facebook. We'd like to know. It's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. Is there a way that we could use... I'm sorry, but the biscuit dough in the refrigerator section in the tube can be wonderful. Yeah. So is there a way to use that biscuit dough to do something dessert-like with it?
Other than strawberries and cream?
Because it comes out in a triangle. I mean, it doesn't have any sugar on it, so we'd have to add maybe cinnamon sugar to it.
Very
is this
flaky,
where the apples go?
It comes
you can make
very
a peach
flaky.
Cobbler, a canned peach cobbler, canned fruit.
Even canned peaches would be
canned
great.
Canned peaches are good.
Mandarin orange sections.
I used to drink the liquid out of the can.
Oh, me too.
Maybe slice them in half and put some nice fresh raspberry jam in the middle.
Oh, that's a good
like a nice Scottish scone.
That would be a jelly donut.
Yeah.
That's very good.
What about if you fried it?
I think you can fry them.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you fry
them?
I've got to try
you
that.
You can?
I've never tried.
What do you mean, fry the raw dough?
Can
you do it, Chris?
I think you can. I remember having them at the restaurant on a holiday because someone brought them in for us. I remember one of my cooks throwing them in the fry later.
No kidding.
And they puffed right up like a crow nut.
You know, this is...
I'm going to suggest something absolutely insane. This is like your idea with the Klondike bar and Daniel's idea. What if you took something with the biscuit dough, in the middle of it you set a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, yeah.
Break
into
the middle.
Put it in the oven and the dough, whatever it does around. This would be a fabulous. We got to do this as a video.
Brush it with some egg and some sugar.
I like
it. You can put a scoop of ice cream in fry it, like the Mexican fried ice cream.
Oh, sure.
I wonder if we could wrap the ice cream in that dough.
Okay, we need to get it. Who's getting the biscuit dough?
We need a fry later.
I'll get it.
I got one.
I've got a bigger one. Later. I don't think we want to deep fry it.
Yeah, no,
no, we don't.
Why not?
I think we have
to
deep fry Oreos.
No, I'm talking about putting it in the oven.
Everything's
I thought
great
we were making
oven.
It fair food.
What's this oven you speak of?
Yes. Fair food.
Fair food. That's a whole nother show.
That means deep fry. And then we could put it on a stick.
That's
at
it.
At a dinner party.
Roll it in Lipitor.
Nice.
I love it.
Is there a way to use popcorn? Is just fun. It's like the confetti of dinner. Is there a way that we could use popcorn to sprinkle around a plate of something? for dessert. Wouldn't it be kind of fun?
I did have a caramel corn as a garnish on top of a pumpkin cheesecake over the holidays.
Oh, yeah. Was it good?
It was great.
I do like that idea. That's clever.
So could you use caramel corn to put on just a bowl of ice cream? I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You've never had Cracker Jacks on ice cream?
I'm putting it on. I'm going to put it on a Klondike bar tonight.
No, seriously.
Homemade Cracker Jacks.
No, forget homemade Cracker Jacks. You buy the box.
Oh, yeah.
You just want the prize.
Yeah, you
I'm
get the
all
prize
over that.
And the peanuts.
You have to widen Daniel's world.
I know. I'm going to beat him today. I'm going to go home. I'm going to put caramel popcorn on it. And he's going to be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Dad,
mind blown.
Whoa.
Do Cracker Jacks even exist anymore?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. What do you mean? I bought a box the other day.
Where do you find them?
At Stop and Shop. I was at Stop and Shop. And you know what? I was walking down and I saw Cracker Jacks.
What aisle are they
They were out. They were out on an end cap. Guess what it said?
Prize There's a prize inside.
Nice.
So I just grabbed it for that.
Now, did you find that it tastes different from when we were kids?
Yeah, it tastes different.
Does.
You
really?
Know what? I still
was the prize a tattoo.
What did
the
they
prize
do?
Was a little sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I don't care. It was fun and nostalgic.
Yeah, okay.
And then I ended up pouring the rest on top of ice cream.
Okay.
Because it has the peanuts in
what
it.
What was the prize, though?
A little bit.
We have to go outside this box now.
All right.
What can we do? We've done biscuits, we've done puff pastry, pound cake, we've done ice cream, we've done chocolate-covered potato chips, brownies in the waffle iron. We're talking about instant desserts. So if you've got an idea, we've talked about stuff for kids where Robin's doing baked apples from when they come home. I want to come home to her house.
I know.
When you go to an Asian restaurant and you come back with like just plain white rice. So we'll take that and you can add a little milk to it, a little cinnamon, a little sugar. Like, you know, the Indians might add like a little bit of cardamom and, you know, you make this like little rice pudding.
You do instant rice pudding.
Yeah, you can even fold
it
in.
You just
heat
it on the stove.
Fold it in a couple egg yolks to make it creamy.
Oh, to thicken it up.
Sure.
Because you never eat that rice that you bring home. Free dessert.
I love that idea.
What about pizza dough? We haven't done anything with pizza dough.
Oh, sure. That's a perfect
dessert pizza.
Not the edge of a pizza that someone's already ate, like the crust.
No, actually.
Use it almost like a pie dough for a hand pie.
Yeah.
Putting apples inside or peaches.
You just fold it over.
Fold it over and bake it.
Fried dough.
So it's a calzone.
So it's like a
dessert calzone.
Yeah.
My favorite pizza dough recipe is the s'mores pizza in the brick oven.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
In your brick oven.
Yeah, Mark has a brick oven.
With the graham crackers and the chocolate and the mini marshmallows.
I can't believe I forgot my favorite thing. I love to make, you know, the hard shell tacos you buy in the box.
Yeah.
Soften the ice cream out on the counter, fill it with vanilla ice cream, drizzle with melted chocolate in the freezer, and the chocolate hardens, and then that we have these little taco holders that comes out, and every week you put a row of them on the table, and everybody takes a dessert taco. It's really, really fun.
And that make ahead kind of thing, easy.
So if you do a taco party, I've done a taco party with all the bowls. It's simple. It's just great. Then the last one is out come the chocolate-covered taco shells.
Oh,
you can also dip the shells in chocolate and freeze just the shells and then fill it up with whatever you want inside.
Yeah.
Any kind of chocolate.
Yeah.
I like the taco shells.
I love that idea.
And they're inexpensive and you get them anywhere.
You'd use Chris's idea where you get your chocolate warmed up in your crock pot and then you pour it over. And
keep it always on.
Yeah.
Keep a crock pot
just keep
full
of
chocolate.
That's it.
And then, you know, dessert is dipping something in.
You have three crock pots. One for the slow roasted pork, one for your chocolate,
and one for chili. Maybe.
And
one for chili.
I just happen to have three that interconnect.
Nice.
I would like to really congratulate everyone on the show today as we did instant desserts for not once mentioning Jell-O.
What happened to Jell-O? It's never coming back.
You
it's
know what
hooves.
I think happened? It was the hooves.
It's the hooves.
When the mad cow was around, people became
because of the
it
gelatin?
Started online and people said,
no,
you know, it's from the cow's hooves and it's you could get mad cow from the Jell-O. Honestly, it was one of those crazy internet things, but I think it ruined Jell-O until somebody tried champagne Jell-O, and the Jell-O company then mimicked it and did their own champagne Jell-O, and suddenly it took off.
You get
again.
Off, you get
I
over the hooks.
I want to see the Jell-O bowl come back.
It's like the stock market.
When was the last time you saw a Jell-O bowl? Do we have we all grown up with Jell-O molds?
I have cookbooks with pictures.
Much as I'd love to stay here for the rest of my life with all of you. We are on WNPR Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, listen for my 60-second food schmooze. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org. And, of course, also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze.